Please, to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2 in your Bible today. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm so glad you're here. I really am. This is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. I mean that. I love coming here. Come to know and love many of you people. And I'm looking forward to having a choir every single night. I was just at a large church in Raleigh, and Sunday morning the choir sang, did a bang-up job. I met the choir director in the hall. I said, "Sir, I'm looking forward to hearing the choir every night." He said, "You won't." I mean, this is a big church. I said, "Why?" They said, "We're working on a big Christmas special." He said, "We don't have time to have a choir during revival."
Oh, man.
I bit my tongue. Hey, it's worth having a choir during revival. It's worth having a choir for the folks that come to revival. I always thought that crowd's worth the best we got, really. I mean that. Regardless of the crowd, I never let that determine what I preach. None of them are good, but some of them are better than others, you know. So, but really, God help us. You know, here we're looking for a big Christmas spectacular. We don't have time to sing and get folks saved. We don't have time for that. God did, you know, and I hope that hope you'll be faithful this week. I really do. Try to be faithful. I'm going to touch on that in the message, but I'm thrilled to be here. This is not a church I just come and preach. It's a church with a number of friends, people I've come to know and love through many, many years of coming here. I'm looking forward to the choir every night. One reason is this. It helps ground out your pastor singing, and that's a great blessing to my heart and my soul. So let's get the choir up here every single night. Amen. Look in your Bible, Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch as there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. When they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? What is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise, take up thy bed, and walk'? But that you may know, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." He saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go that way unto thy house." And immediately he rose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed and glorified God. Mark chapter 2, we find a fantastic revival. There are four things that make this a great revival. Number one, first of all, there are tremendous crowds. Look in your Bible, please, at verse number 2. "Straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch as there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door." Understand that the inside is packed to jam. The crowd outside is so great, nobody can even get near the door. Number one, there are great crowds. Number two, people got saved. Look in your Bible at verse number 5. In verse 5, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" That is Bible salvation. A man got saved. Number 3, thirdly, we find that God was glorified. Look in your Bible at verse number 12. In verse 12, "Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed," watch it, "and glorified God." Now why? They said, "Man, what we've seen cannot be man-made. This is not human. This is supernatural. This is God working and moving." That's the revival we need this week. And finally, in your Bible, the fourth thing is, my friend, the agnostics were amazed. Think on that. The agnostics were amazed. So in your Bible, go back to verse number 7. The scribe said, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only?" They said, "Jesus is just a man. Jesus is just like us." Ho-hum. Look again at verse number 12, please. Verse 12, "Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch as they were all amazed," that includes the agnostics, "they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" A fantastic revival. Great crowds. Folks saved. God is glorified, and the agnostics are amazed. Now, here's the good news. God does not just tell us what happened. Thank God, he tells us why it happened. What happened back then that brought the revival? The same thing can happen today here that will bring revival once again. Number one, first of all, there must be communication. Look in your Bible, please, at verse number one. There must be communication in verse one. Again, he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was noise that he was in the house. Now, the world says this, no news is good news. The world says, what a man doesn't know can't hurt him. God said, no news is bad news. What a man does not know may eternally damn him. The Bible says, how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? What's that verse say? God said, an unsaved person cannot get saved unless you open your mouth and tell them how to get saved. No matter how deep the concern, no matter how many tears, unsaved people cannot get saved till you tell them how to get saved. Your Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, preacher, there's somebody on the base in my neighborhood, on the job, and I'd love to see them saved. Then open your mouth and tell them how to get saved. Folks don't get saved with a psychic hotline. They get saved when some concerned Christian opens their mouth and tells them how to get saved. I was preaching years ago in a little town of Latham, Illinois. I drove down Sunday morning to start the revival. I drove down in a snowstorm, and I got there, and the service was started. The pastor stood up and said, okay, who do we pray for to get saved this week? Lady stood up and said, pray for my husband. Said, my husband really needs to get saved. So we had a brief time of prayer. We prayed for the husband. For the morning service, the deacons began to pray. Who do we pray for? The deacon said, pray for Jack. He said, that guy is the scourge of the town. He said, boy, Jack needs to get saved the worst way. We prayed for Jack. For the evening service again, had revival again. The guy said, boy, we ought to pray for Jack. Man, what a wicked, godless, dirty guy. Pray for Jack. We prayed for Jack. On Monday, the pastor and I went to lunch, got back to the church early, supper, about 7 o'clock, about 6 o'clock. I said, hey, who's this guy, Jack? Oh, man. He said, well, Jack's wife asked for prayer in Sunday school. He said, Jack is a womanizer. Jack's probably on drugs. Jack is wicked and godless. He's probably the worst guy in this town, just a horrible guy. I said, where'd you live? He said, come here. I said, where's he? Come here. I walked over from the desk. He said, look over my left shoulder. He said, see that house with the white picket fence? I said, yeah. He said, Jack and his wife live right there. I said, good. Preacher, I said, we got an hour. Let's go see Jack. He said, I'm not sure. I said, I am. Let's go see Jack. He said, one condition. What? He said, you do the talking. I'll do it, buddy. Amen. So we go over. We knock on the door. Jack's wife opened the door. And the pastor was a great man of faith. The pastor said, Jack's not home, is he? Oh, yeah. He said, but Jack came home early today. He has the flu. Oh, the pastor said, we'll come back later. His wife, Jack's wife said, wait. I heard her turn around. Honey, she said, the evangelist and the pastor are here. You want to talk to him? Yeah, I said, send them in. We walk in, and Jackson's kind of laying on the couch. He spun around. I sat down by him. I said, now, Jack, I know you got the flu. I said, listen to me. I'll be glad to talk to you now. If it's better, I'll come back later. I said, don't leave. He said, what do you want? I said, Jack, I'll open the Bible and show you how to get saved. Would that be okay? He said, yeah, I'm up to that. I opened my Bible. I showed Jack four things. Now, Jack, I said, he was a horrible guy, but he ran the city waterworks. I showed Jack four things. Number one, we're all sinners. Especially those that run the city waterworks. Amen. Now, number two, I pointed out to Jack, because he's broken God's law, he's on the way to hell. Number three, I explained to him, my friend, Lord Christ hung on Calvary. It was him, not it. It was a person. Final thing, when Christ hung on Calvary, because he was sinless, he could pay for Jack's sin and the sin of the entire world. I said, now, Jack, to become a Christian, you make a decision. A definite decision at a definite time. You don't grow into it. You don't learn about it. A decision you make. The Bible says, choose you this day. I said, Jack, the Bible says this, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, let me ask you, right here, right now, you want to pray with me and receive Christ? Yeah, I do, he said. I said, okay. Thus, I didn't ask him. We knelt down to the couch. He prayed and received Christ. He said, down, sir, okay, what's next? I said, well, Jack, what you ought to do, come to revival some night this week. They'll sing some songs. I preach. At the close, we have an invitation hymn. At that hymn, you want to walk down the aisle and make it public. You've been saved. He said, you know, I've got the flu. I said, don't remind me. I'm sitting right beside you. I know you got the flu. He said, I got an idea. I said, tell me. Would it be okay if tonight I come late, sit out in the vestibule, He said, when the service ends tonight, walk down the aisle and tell people I got saved. I said, good idea. He said, now, preacher, I'm not saying to come to church, but I might give somebody the flu. I said, you might give me the flu, Clara. Yeah, it's a good idea, Jack. You bet, buddy. Okay. He said, I'll do it. That night, sure enough, Jack slipped in the vestibule, the invitation, walked down the aisle, turned around, said, folks, this guy coming to my house today, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Pretty good stuff. What else? I said, now, Jack, every day you ought to read your Bible. He said, okay, I'll read my Bible. I said, well, where do I start? Don't start at the beginning. I said, start with John's Gospel. He said, okay, I'll do it. He said, what else? I said, well, I said, you ought to follow Christ in believers' baptism. Right. Baptism does not save. It's a testimony that you have been saved. Understand that. Baptism does not save. It's a testimony you have been saved. I said, you know how they baptize? He said, I saw one once. They try to drown you. I said, you're close. That's right. Amen. I said, Jack, he said, I got the flu. I said, I know you do. He said, maybe Friday night. I said, Friday night you can get baptized. He said, okay. I said, you want to do it? He said, it's tough. But he said, if what you showed me was true, and I think it was, he said, if Jesus died for me, I guess I can get wet for him. I said, that's good thinking, buddy. Yep. Yeah. And I said, he said, what else? I said, wait, time out. Jack, let me ask you one question. How come you never got saved to right here, right now, this evening? He said, well, that's pretty simple. He said, I guess to get saved, you got to know how to get saved. He said, preacher, nobody ever told me how to get saved to right here tonight when you knocked on my door. That is tragic. That is wicked. That is sinful. They could have prayed till they wore grooves in that hardwood floor. They could have wept tears till they flooded the church. And Jack would never got saved till some Christian opened his mouth and told him how to get saved. Don't you dare say, I'm concerned about a family member. I'm concerned about my honeybee. Don't say that unless you're willing to open your mouth and tell them how to get saved. There must be. We can't avoid this. We can't. There must be communication. Number two, I like this. There must be cooperation. Open your Bible again, please. Look down at verse number 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgive me. Now, here's the story. These guys have a friend that is paralyzed. They get concerned about their friend. Hey, let's get our friend to Jesus. He can heal him, but also he can save him. Four guys, they get on a cot, they carry him to where? Oh, brother. Can't do it. The verse I read earlier, the crowd outside is so great, nobody getting near the door. We can't get in. There's no way he can do it. No. Well, we gave it to you a college try. Yeah, what else can we do? I guess we'll just let our buddy go to hell. Thank God that's not what they said.
Amen.
They said, we're not quitting.
Amen.
We're not giving up. He's our friend. We're going to get him to Christ. And they did, you know how? The guy on the roof, let him down. Christ saw him and saved him and healed him. Why? Because four men work together. Now, excuse me, the Bible is not always mathematically correct from our point of view. Understand that? Our point of view. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight. Okay? Now, with my many years in mathematics, if 1x equals 1,000, 2x equals 2,000. Wrong. You failed God's math. The Bible says God will put 1,000 to flight, and two, don't miss it, will put 10,000 to flight. What's that verse say? When Christians cooperate, the power of God is not added to, the power of God is multiplied when God's people work together. Turn your Bible, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Acts, chapter number 2. Now, here's the greatest revival in church history. Acts, chapter number 2. And why did it happen? You'll find one reason at the start in Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2, please. Look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. The hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders right among the people. What's this saying? They were all, everybody, with one accord in Solomon's porch. What happened? Verse 14. Believers were the more added to the Lord, what's ordering multitudes, and the next word is both of men and of women. What happened? Everybody's working, everybody's praying, everybody's involved. What happened? Not a multitude, but multitudes plural, multitudes both of men and of women got saved. Why? Because God's people worked together. Turn your, go back in your Bible, please, to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, here they go. They were all, everybody, with one accord. There it is again. Everybody's praying, working. See, when you sit home during revival, you're a church member, you eliminate part of the power of God in that revival. Now what happened? They're all working together, praying together. Look over at verse 41. Then as they had received the word, were baptized, the same day added them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 folks got saved. Why? Because everybody is involved. Look down at verse 26 of Acts 2. They continued daily with one accord. They wouldn't quit. Everybody. Verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord, and to the church daily, every day, such as should be saved. What a statement. Because folks were involved. Nobody's sitting home watching television. Nobody's saying, I'm too tired. Nobody's saying, ho-hum, I don't like revival. Everybody got involved, and all hell couldn't stop this church. God help us this week, folks. It's so important you get involved this week. Look at your Bible again. Look over, if you would, please, at Acts chapter 7, I think it is. Go back to Acts chapter 6, verse 5. The same pleased the whole multitude. I like that. Understand? The same, nobody's griping. I don't like the preaching. It's too loud. I don't like the preaching. I don't like the music, no. The same pleased. What happened? The Spirit was not quenched by griping and complaining. He was free to flow, free to move. They're all with one accord. What happened? Read your Bible. I love this. Verse 7. The Word of God increased. That means in power. It became even more powerful. And the number of the disciples multiplied. They're not adding, they're multiplying now. Look at the priest further. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Think with me. The hardest place to get folks saved would be Jerusalem. That's where they crucified him. They killed him. The hardest folk in Jerusalem to ever get saved would have been the priest. They hated Christ. Now wait a minute. What's that verse say? The people in the hardest place, Jerusalem, the hardest people, the priests, they got saved. Why? Because God's people worked together. That's great, isn't it? When God's people work together, hardened sinners get saved. Somebody you thought would never get saved will come to revival, walk down that aisle, and get saved. Why? Because there was cooperation among the people of God. Many, many years ago, I was in Michigan with Pastor Warren DeFoe. And one day, Brother DeFoe and I were going calling. He had some visitation cards. We got in the car, and he takes off driving. I picked up the first card. It was seven cards stapled together. I said, Brother DeFoe, I said, who's this guy named Harold? I kind of chuckled. He said, I got that by mistake. I said, Brother Mark, you can see everybody in the church has been to Harold's house. He said, Harold works at a factory. He's a big motorcycle jockey. He said, everybody's witness to him, but he just will not get saved. We had six other cars. Went to six homes. And five of them found nobody home. Number six, we were lucky. Woman pulling off the driveway almost hit us. So in other words, we found nobody at home. On the way back in the town, Brother DeFoe said, well, let's stop and see Harold. We stopped, knocked on the door. Harold's wife come to the door. He said, is Harold home? She said, no, this is work, but he'll be home in just a few minutes. Come on in. We're inside and we're talking. All of a sudden, I hear this loud noise. The door vibrates. The wind is shaking. I thought it was probably just a Ford driving by, but the noise got louder and louder and louder. And pretty soon, I looked out the window. I'm going to be politically correct, okay? I looked out the window. I saw an obese individual astride of a two-wheel mode of transportation. I'll break it down for you. I saw a great big fat guy sitting on a motorcycle. Okay, now, the door opened. Harold comes in and sits down. Brother DeFoe said, Harold, this is Brother Mark. He comes to open the Bible and show you how to get saved. Harold said, nope. Brother DeFoe said, you didn't understand, did you? We come today so Brother Mark can open the Bible and show you how to keep from screaming in hell. Now, just listen real well. Harold said, nope. Now, bless his heart. Brother DeFoe weighs 130 pounds, okay? Harold is at least 400 pounds. You know, he dressed out about 350. Anyway, big guy. Now, Brother DeFoe said, wait. He said, be a gentleman, Harold. Sit there and shut up. Let Brother Mark. He said, no. Oh, man. He said, why? He said, I ain't no ignoramus. I know how to get saved. Everybody in your church has been out here banging on my door. He said, I know how to get saved. He said, everybody in your church has been out here and showed me how to get saved. I know how to get saved. Brother Post said, when are you going to wise up and get saved? He said, right now. He said, what, right now? He said, last night my wife and I were in bed. She told me about the church service. She went to sleep. I thought, you know, there must be something real to this. Every Thursday night, guys stay home with their family, spend time watching television, doing something they want to do. Should they get in the car and drive out here and knock on my door and try to keep me out of hell? He said, preacher, I didn't sleep last night. Bothered me all day long. There must be something real to Christianity for those folks to be so concerned. I'm ready to get saved right now. But he said, nobody has to show me how. I know how. But the folks said, do it. He slid out of that chair on his knees, prayed a tremendous prayer. I couldn't let him in a better prayer. He got up and sat down and said, what's next? He said, come to church and make it public. Said, okay, my wife comes every night, I'll just come with her. Said, okay, close the service, walk down the aisle, make it plain you got it. Said, I'll do it. Said, what else? He said, you ought to get baptized. When you're baptized, you identify with Christ. He said, now I'm not knocking you, but driving that Harley out there, you identify with a certain group of people. He said, some good, some bad. You know that. They're not all bad. He said, no, listen to me. When you're baptized, you identify with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and tell people you got saved. Will you do it? He said, yeah. Can we do that tonight? He said, yeah, we can do it tonight. Amen. He said, okay. So, man, we didn't walk. I really feel sorry for some of you people. I mean that. You don't know the joy and the thrill of leading someone to Christ. I'm not attacking you. You're missing it, really. You don't believe this. With this 135-pound body, amen, I like that, don't you? It just floated out to the car. And we got the car. I said, wait a minute. I picked up those cards. Seven cards they were given. Start counting. Ready? Ready? 47 kings of two. 94 Christians went to Harold's house. Knocked on the door. Harold said, no. Wow. 95 and 96 come and the guy got saved. Why? Because the last two were handsomer? That is probably true, but I want to emphasize that's not the reason he got saved. What was the reason? Here it is. Don't miss it, please. God said, it's not my word like a hammer. I love that verse. No. No. No, 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 no. And the Word of God hammered and broke his heart and drove him to his knees. Why? Because God's people were faithful and the Bible is a hammer. Thank God for that this morning. God help us. Imagine, we said, what's the use? Won't do any good. But thank God that next effort broke him. Don't you dare quit. You say, preacher, the folk I invited to every revival this church has had, and that's always no, no, no. Don't quit. Don't surrender them to the fires of hell. Make that effort. Press it a little bit. Try to get them here this week. But you might have the joy of knowing that a friend got saved that you brought to revival. That doesn't stir your heart. Nothing will, friend. Number three, and I'm through. In closing, the last word is determination. Look at your Bible. Go back to verse 4 again. They could not come down to him for the press, uncover the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, let down the bed, wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Again, my friend, the thing of determination. Determination. That'll get the job done. That'll do what something else won't do. I didn't, well, Brother Mark, I witnessed one time, they said, no, that's it. That's not it, my friend. Don't stop one time. Be tenacious. Be determined. Just don't say, let them perish. Don't quit. Years ago, I had a revival meeting in Holmes, Iowa, not a really big town. And pastor had really worked hard to get folks for revival. So he wouldn't even, I preached, had them bow their head. I said, okay, if you're not sure you're saved, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. In that little church, about 100 people, 8 people raised their hand. The first couple I saw raise their hand was in the back row, a great big burly guy, had a beard. His wife was a nice-looking lady. I said, okay, well, sing a song. You want to get saved, you come and tell Brother Forsberg, let's stand and sing. 6 people come to get saved. A couple in the back did not respond. Out of the door shaking hands, and this big guy comes up. And I said, sir, thank you for coming. I tried to shake hands with him. It was like shaking hands with a watermelon, okay? This guy's got the biggest hands I ever saw. I said, thank you for coming. He said, I'm glad I was here. Said, you want to know something? I said, what? He said, tonight we're coming back to this joint, and tonight we're getting saved. I said, I got a better idea. Why don't you folks come with me right now? We'll go in a room, and I'll show you how to get saved. You can eat. No, he said, no. Here's what he said. He was a Baptist already. He wasn't saved. He was a Baptist. Here's what he said. Nope. I'm not missing lunch to get saved. Now, that's Baptist talk if I ever heard it, okay? He said, I'm not missing lunch. He said, Reverend, I'm no liar. I'm no liar. Tonight we're coming back, and then I was. I said, well, it's your choice, you know. So I see these boys come up, wanted to talk to me. We went in the room and talked, and pretty soon I come out. I'm kind of surprised because Harold and his wife are, not Harold, Al, Al and his wife are leaving again. I went to Brother Forsberg. I said, Al told me he's coming back tonight and getting saved with his wife. He said, well, here's what happened. He got in the car, drove 2 blocks down the street. He come back, walked in. I was still here. He said, Reverend, will you come to our house this afternoon and show us how to get saved? Well, the Forsberg said, yeah, I'll be glad to, but how about right now? He said, no. I told that other guy there, I'm not missing lunch to get saved. But what happened? That afternoon, Harold got saved. That night, come to revival. Walked down the aisle, made it public. Friday night, after the service, he got baptized. Thursday night, he brought 5 co-workers, 3 of them walked down the aisle and received Christ as their Savior. I'm talking to Al Thursday night. Al, I said, let me ask you, who invited you to revival? Brother Mark, he said, I work for the railroad. I got transferred here. We have a big repair station, and I'm a welder. He said, I would come back here. Well, the only house we could find was right next to Sister Sally. Now, Sister Sally was about as big around as this microphone, about 5,000 years old. When she talks in a whisper. He said, preacher, that woman almost drove us nuts. Every time we turned around, he said, she wears those old-time high-heeled tie-up shoes. You can hear her coming. Here she come on our porch, knock on the door. She'd give us little papers. She'd invite us to church. She'd talk about Jesus. Said, woman, as a preacher, every time we turn around, she'd about drove us nuts. He said, last Saturday, she come over and knocked on our door and talked about revival and wanted us to come. Ready? Said, preacher, she came to our house to invite us to revival. Remind us about revival. Don't miss revival. Said, preacher, last Saturday, she said, come to our house 5 times before noon to invite us. She might as well have Alzheimer's. That's the revival. He said, she drove up and said, preacher, I'm under my car changing the oil. I heard it. Said, I looked out, and I could just see her legs. I thought, I'm safe. She can't get me here. What that woman did is turn around, looked through her legs, said, Albert, if you don't repent, you'll burn in hellfire. Said, preacher, I'm on my own front porch, reading my paper. I hear, all of a sudden, I don't see your face. I held the paper up high. This bony hand grabbed my paper, ripped it in half. With fire in her eyes, she said, if you don't get right with God, you'll burn in hell fire. Went back home. Said, preacher, Saturday, 5 times before noon, the last time she knocked on her door, I said, hold it, please, don't move. Tomorrow, come into your church one time. Only one time. Don't come back again. Don't knock on our door. Said, just stay away. Have a horrible day. And I slammed the door. He said, preacher, we got saved Sunday afternoon because we had a neighbor that was determined to keep us out of hell. I went to Sally. I said, you know, I was told because of you. Al told me you're the one because he got saved. I said, preacher, what kind of Christian would I be? Let a neighbor right next door die, go to hell and never try and get him saved. What kind of Christian would I be? Good question. By the way, Christ answered that question. Jesus said, two great commandments. Number one, love the Lord thy God, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy might. And the second greatest commandment in the Bible is not, don't be a pedophile, don't be a homosexual, don't kill. Second greatest commandment is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Not the mission field, neighbor. As thyself. See, I know people put a lot of money to get folks saved on the mission field. I'm going to walk 90 foot to keep a neighbor out of your hell. Listen to me, friend. Christ didn't say the option. He said the second greatest commandment is what? Love your neighbor. You can't say, I love my neighbor. I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll hide the gospel. I'll let him burn. You can't say that. Oh, my friend, I want to encourage you. I had a revival one time. 11 neighbors come and walked down the aisle and got saved. Let's reach out to the neighbors this week, the co-workers, the friends. Let's ask God. The key to the story is one thing. They were amazed. Oh, let's do something so God could amaze us right here this week in Heritage Baptist Church. God, your head.